He secured 2 patents, went viral with Lisa Ray, and mentors kids in STEM. David Williams is proof that success means nothing without significance. From tech to tribe life, he's rewriting the blueprint for impact. This just isn't a podcast. It's a wake-up call. Welcome to another episode of the Undisputed Podcast. I am Ty Bledsoe, the CEO of Undisputed LLC and the host. Oh, get your popcorn ready. Hollywood meets tech meets entrepreneurship. Check this out. Ladies and gentlemen, get ready to meet a true force of innovation, impact, and inspiration. From growing up in one of the poorest corners of Dallas to becoming a nationally recognized tech executive and thought leader, David Williams has shattered ceilings and redefined what possible is. At AT&T, he held the world's largest robotics process automation program, delivering $1 billion in value, and holds 2 patents in RFID and satellite LTE integration. He's been featured on NBC, Fox, Ebony, Dallas CEO, and was most recently named the NSBE's Distinguished Engineer of the Year. David's brilliance doesn't stop at the boardroom. He's a mentor, an author, and founder of youth robotics initiatives that reach communities across the globe, from Dallas to MIT. Whether you know him from being a best-selling author, his viral moment on Queen's Court, or his impact with Big Brothers and Big Sisters, one thing is clear. David Williams is not just successful, he's significant. Please join me in welcoming the incomparable, the unstoppable, David Williams.
Thank you. Thank you, Todd. That was great, man. I really appreciate that.
My pleasure. Look at, so we got tech, we got Hollywood, we got celebrity, good, everything but the red carpet is here at Undisputed.
Well, I haven't posted that yet.
Now, here's the deal. David, look at, first of all, thank you.
Sure.
Right? So we've walked some of the same corridors,
yeah,
and such forth, and now we're in the same room,
yeah,
gonna light it up.
I'm excited.
What's one thing you're grateful for today?
Ty, you know, I just recently lost my mom.
Yes.
And I lost my dad when I was very early. And so I'm grateful for the time I was able to spend with my mother and for us to be able to become really good friends, best of friends. And so I'm grateful for those. Mm-hmm. Experiences is something I would just say I'm grateful for.
Wow.
Yeah.
My condolences. Deep condolences.
Thank you. Thank you. Much better, but yes, thank you.
What shape did your mother have on raising you? Kudos to Mama Williams, who raised an intelligent, sharp, dynamic son. How did your mother's love and support really shape your life?
Yeah, there was probably a few things, man. You know, my mom used to tell me to be a good sport. And so as I got grown, I would start to call her sport. And so instead of mama, I'd call her sport. And it just always was a little thing between us about being a good sport in life. I was very short as a kid, and so sports didn't come naturally, I should say. But my mom told me something when she saw I was getting really serious about corporate America. She said, I want you to know this, son. People don't care what you know, mm-hmm, until they first know that you care about them. And I have held on to that my entire career, and it's worked wonderfully. So kudos to mom for putting me on the right direction again, even as an adult.
Boom. People don't care what you know until they first know you care.
That's correct.
My goodness. Amen,
yeah,
to that.
Yeah.
David, what's your philosophy between success and significance?
Well, I think that, you know, we are all on a path pursuing success. And that's a good thing to do, to advance and evolve and to improve and self-develop. But I believe there is something higher than success, which is significance. We can drive ROI and great quarters and all this other stuff and stock prices and so forth. But when you do something significant that can impact society or make a community better, it's hard to quantify that. You know what I'm saying? If you think about it in business, you know, we look at folks like Jeff Bezos and others, you know, great, you know, huge moguls, titans. How much money would you have to earn to, you know, be on the same level as Gandhi? Right? That's a level of significance that I don't know if success, you know, you can buy your way into that. And so there's success, but then there's significance, and you got to look at that greatest good.
it seemed like you read my book, The Mountaintop, because I write about that in, I believe, chapter one, right? That there's a difference between success and significance, and I write that. I take significance over success. But you're the best-selling author, right? So tell us this. I'm off a script, but it's undisputed. We're going to keep it real.
All
right. For your book, right? Yeah. Tell us about the title of your book and what was the themes of your best-selling book?
So the book is Business Model: When Incredible Will Meets Professional Skill. It's about combining your personal passion with your professional skill. If you can do those things and bring them close enough together, 1 and 1 makes 11. You can get further faster. And so no matter what you've been through, your personal experiences and all of those things are unique. Even if you had brothers and sisters, you sat in a different chair at the kitchen table. So everyone's experiences are unique. If you could take those experiences and marry them with your professional skill, you can take that a very long way.
Snap. Hey, y'all, go out and find this book. What are the different platforms people can find your book?
It's on Amazon. You just go to businessmodelbook.com. You can find it. It's in all the, hardback, audio, digital, everything.
Perfect. David, was there a moment when you knew you were different from the traditional mold?
I think there was a moment when a mentor who was sent to me knew I was different. There was a lady by the name of Linda Jackson, and she was a president over one of the employee groups. She was moved in the organization, and she sat right next to me. And I became her son, and she became my mother, and a work mother. And she took me to all the mentoring circles. I would learn from different folks. And I got to see a different side of the company in corporate America, and that's what started to shape me. And so because of that, I've only had two goals, which is to mentor and to try to do something to impact society at large, hence the patents.
Snap. Okay. Yeah. And you have two patents.
Yeah.
Two patents. And real quickly, what are the two patents? What is the remit of those
Reprogrammable patents? RFID, kind of like having a badge or a brooch or something that can interact with different things that you could reprogram, kind of like Bluetooth. And then and it's very distinct because of the proximity limits. And then the other is a dual connectivity Wi-Fi router that connects with satellite technology for upload and LTE for download.
Tech, black tech, right? Come on now. Afro tech. Look, we need to come over to Afro tech, right? Yeah. Holla, Afro tech, holla. Let's talk Lisa Ray. Okay, let's talk Lisa Ray. 1 million views. Wide speculation. The world was thinking that you were engaged to Lisa Ray.
Yeah, man.
What happened?
Oh, my God. So I was cast to be on Queen's Court, and it was such an honor, and I had a great time with it. And Lisa Ray and I became friends, and even after the show was done, we would still hang out and stuff like that. And so there was a picture where we went to a celebrity wedding, and we took a picture, or she wanted to take a picture. We took a picture, and we were holding some things in our hands, and I posted the picture, and everyone thought we were engaged. And actually, I posted the picture about a year later. I don't post everything yet. Mm-hmm. And so it just went nuts. I think I put it on Instagram. It wound up on TikTok. And, a million views later, folks were asking questions like, what's up?
David, I don't think you answered the question, though.
Did I not answer the question?
Wild speculation around the world. I'm listening.
So Lisa Ray and I are not engaged. We are great friends. She is an incredible woman. And, since we're halfway on the topic of dating, I would just say that, Lisa Ray is the kind of person that, man, if you really aspire for marriage or something like that, she embodies all those kinds of things that people talk about. And so she's a really dynamic kind of person. Really great friend.
During that whole experience, right?
Yeah.
Going viral and million plus folks, right, DMing you and walking down the street, going to restaurants and people asking questions. What lessons did you learn about perception, about brand, and about standing your ground and staying to your core values with all that big attention spike?
Yeah, I think that one, TV creates an experience, a euphoria, and so does social media. They talk about the dopamine hits and all of that. And so when you see that, I personally was really happy about it because there was such a positive response to it. It was like no negativity, which is my thing. When I run into people, folks ask questions and I try to be, I try to answer their question. I'll never out Lisa Ray or, tell them personal stuff that we talk about. So I get those kind of questions, which is cool. The DMs, they still come. It's a whole lot of crazy stuff in my DMs, man. It's ridiculous. But it's cool. You know, I mean, I just deal with it as is. I'm a regular person. I treat people with respect. I don't think I'm better than anybody. And I just like to have a good time and go do something exponential. You know what I'm saying?
How did Queens Court impact your message and your mission?
Well, you know, when I thought about Queens Court, and I was really last minute that I decided to go, but I felt like there could be more images of African-American men being positive towards each other, even in a competitive nature, even in a nuanced situation like dating. Do we have to be adversarial against each other just to be successful? I don't think so. I think you run your race, and I'm going to be happy about you running your race. I'm going to run my race. Hopefully, you can have the same feelings about me running my race. And at the end, we'll see what happens. You know, I don't think you can coerce someone into loving you. You know what I mean? You know, you can't work harder to make somebody love you. Either they do or they don't. The best you could do is show yourself to them. And that's about as far as I went with it. Yeah, as far as my message, you know, I would just say that, you know, I try to make sure that, you know, look, I'm a father. I love my son, and I have a lot of respect for him. And I feel like in that moment, there was an opportunity for young men to see how older men can approach the opposite sex in a respectful way.
Come on now. Come on now. Wow. Let's talk tech. Let's talk impact and mentorship, right?
All right.
So you fled a billion-dollar animation program. Let me just say it again. This man, David, this man, Mr. Williams, Mr. David C. Williams has led a billion-dollar automation program. Actually, multiple, right? Multiple billion-dollar automation programs, right? What's next for black tech leadership?
I can speak on myself, but the question is, what's next for black tech leadership? I think that, look, at this point, everything is AI, and we're going to have to be, you know, embracing it in a very big way. No matter what level of leadership you sit in the hierarchy, we all have to embrace it, from the CEO down to the first line manager. When I think what the future looks like for black tech leadership, I would say many black people come from tough situations. Innovation is born out of necessity. Although we may have come from disadvantaged situations, those things have prepared us to be advantageous in a situation, in a market, in an era like this. If we can use that ingenuity, we can create innovation, which leads to invention. That's what I think is next for black tech leadership.
We're moving at warp speed, but we're going to continue this, right? So you've been involved in the STEM world, particularly with youth, been mentoring and having robotics camps, such forth, even involved with Martin Lawrence's his youth program.
Yeah.
What's one story from mentoring that still gives you goosebumps?
Oh, man. There's so many. Oh, my God, there's so many. I remember the first robotics program we had. It was in my own neighborhood in South Dallas. It was in the projects. And there was this one little girl. She was 11 years old. And she just would not stop working on the robot. We had pizza and sodas and water and all this other stuff. She did not want to eat. And I knew she was hungry. I knew they had, all the kids were just running to go get all this pizza. And she hadn't ate either, but she did not want to give it up. And so it just made me think that a lot of times we think kids have a short attention span. Not really if you find what they're interested in. No kid has a hard time spending a lot of time on TikTok, right? And so you just have to find what it is that works. And so that taught me the power of alternate education. And it gave me the faith to continue going. So, yeah, I appreciate her.
Man, the power of alternate education. So years ago, you're spending time in India. You're at the Taj Mahal.
I am.
You're having unique experiences.
Yeah.
What was the unique experience you had at the Taj Mahal with all these young, bright minds?
Oh, man. So the Taj Mahal, you know, it's the seventh wonder of the world. It's beautiful. It is perfectly symmetrical. There's a love story behind it that is like Romeo and Juliet. You have to hear it. But there's a story in India that's even bigger than that. And to me, it was even more influential or impactful. which is the story of Lord Rama. And every year in India, they have this huge celebration. It's like Christmas and the 4th of July put together. And it's called the Festival of Lights. Yes. And it's behind the topic that no matter how much darkness there is, there will always be light. Rama was a crown prince. He was exiled. His wife was kidnapped. He went through the forest. He walked the country. He walked on water. He went and saved his queen, got her back, and got his whole family back. I'm doing the story no justice by truncating it this much, but it is a truly inspiring story, and it meant everything to me.
Now, you have too many brothers don't spend time in India. Talk about that experience, right? Spending time down there, right? The second largest country population-wise, one of the biggest countries, right?
There's so much. There's so much you could talk about. I mean, the culture. I mean, I got to spend time at a orphanage with 110 little girls, and so we had a robot exercise there. Even though there was a bit of a language barrier, they actually worked those robots the fastest. They do have the credit on out of all of the sessions that we've had. They had the fastest one. And they were all orphan girls, you know what I'm saying? Young women. Also in India, you know, there's a lot of things about the culture that you learn about, you know, in India, they only drink out of glass or metal, no plastic.
Really?
Yeah. And there's a big rationale behind all of that. They eat with their hands, and there's a big meaning behind that and what that means. There's no concept of lanes. But even though there's no concept of lanes and there's a lot of traffic, there's no road rage. Interesting.
Really?
Right. Right.
Wow.
Right. And so there's a lot you can learn from India. They also, from a tech perspective, there's a company called Jio. It's a telecommunications company. It's one of the most incredible stories of a telecom coming to be. They brought on, I think, 400 million customers in like 6 months or something.
Whoa.
Yeah. It is incredible.
How did building a circle focused on entrepreneurship, health, and accountability change your life?
Well, accountability goes a long way because it keeps you in check. And if I can keep myself in check, then I can at least stay focused on the things that matter most, which usually working in an organization is the organization, the team, the mission at hand. And so health, I'm not the healthiest guy. I eat what I want. You know, I try to work out, you know, on a regular basis. But I do believe that you have to stay healthy if you want to be your best you in whatever it is that you're doing. My circle of friends and entrepreneurs and tech execs and all that kind of stuff is a family. And it's the only way that I really know how to be with my colleagues and so forth is family. I'm here to help you win. I don't have an ulterior motive with you. I want to see you be successful. I'd like for us to do something great together, chocolate peanut butter Reese's Pieces. But, you know, that's probably my concoction of things that I use to try to drive results and get through the day.
And I believe you call this term your new tribe. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, I think it's
tribe life.
It's tribe life. Yes. Exactly. Okay. And so I wouldn't say it's a new tribe. The tribe grows, it ebbs, it flows, you know, over life. But yeah, it is a tribe life culture where we are together. We're in this thing together. I'm not going to see you fail on your own. If you fail, we're going to fail together because I'm in this with you. We will win together. We will fail together.
I like that.
Yeah. The together part, we won't have to question. What happens on the other end, we'll do it together.
How can others start to build their own tribe life?
Well, it starts with trust. And I think a lot of times we have to, in work, I would have this philosophy of, if you want to bring your whole self to work, you are automatically approved for vacation. You need not come in. Have a wonderful day. Take care. Why? Because I need your super self. The problems we're working on, Clark Kent can't move this mountain. I need Superman. Diana Prince can't do it. I need Wonder Woman. I need Black Panther. I need Shuri. I need all of that. And so what that does is it says, I want all of you, and when you come to work, you can expect to be greeted by a host of Avengers here to help you, right? Your entire day should be flying around the company, solving problems, and if you run into a roadblock, call me. I will go solve the roadblock and get you back to flying around the company, solving problems. And so every day should be a super day. Bring your super self to work. Y'all, I'm serious, man. Wait, let me keep going on. Listen, the team, we even have super names. Okay, it's a Joby One Kenobi. It's a one lady. Her name is Mamba. She doesn't even watch basketball and not necessarily a Kobe fan. Is a Burn Rubber Reaper, a Sir Blackberry. I'm Optimistic Prime. We go by these terms. Seriously. And this is how we work. This is how we were able to work through the pandemic and solve all those problems so people could work from home and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
What does legacy look like for you?
You know, if people can see that 1 and 1 really does make 11, I think that would be my legacy. I think if folks could can see the value in bringing their best self, connecting with someone else, bringing their best self, and doing something exponential together, that's what legacy would mean to me. Mm. And I try to preach this teach this to the youth when I talk to them. We have these solar robot workshops. When I was their age, I was selling candy so I could buy lunch. They are, at this age, they're working with robots, so they're already ahead of me. And so the point is just that small ideas are also bright ideas.
Let's do rapid fire. This is the first time we've ever done this on the podcast.
Okay.
So we're making history right here. Rapid fire advice, right?
Okay.
So this is a little rules. So I'm going to give you the category and give that one piece of advice for a certain sector. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a moment. Just think about that.
All right.
First, what is the one advice you give to tech pros?
To tech pros?
Yes.
Swing for the fences and always think about the ROI. Everything can be equated to a dollar. Swing for the fences. Don't be mediocre. Go for the grand thing and quantify it all. Those dollars will help you get past the nose.
Okay. What's the one piece of advice for mentors?
Mentors should remember to always either give constructive feedback or open the Rolodex up and help the next generation get to the higher level, the same level or higher than ourselves. That is what I would say to all mentors. Constructive feedback or open the Rolodex. Otherwise, what are we doing? We're wasting our time.
Flex. Just flex.
I mean, I'm just saying, if we're mentoring for some long period of time, why wouldn't I open the Rolodex to you? Right. Obviously, there's something that I feel like you need to work on. Why haven't I told you? We're wasting each other's time. Mm.
What's the one piece of advice for 16-year-old David Williams?
Don't doubt yourself. Mm. I think a lot of us, especially if you come from, humble beginnings, you go through this imposter syndrome or whatever you want to call it kind of deal. Am I good enough? Is that for them? Is that for me? You know what I'm saying? I looked at the Cosby Show. That's them. That's not my world. I can't go to a college like that. You know, that's just TV. Those kind of things happen. I would say to 16-year-old David or any other 16-year-old, don't doubt yourself. The only way you can cross that lake of fear is with no doubt. You got to run across it. And so just buckle up and go bold.
Buckle up or go bold. I love
buckle
that.
Buckle up and go bold.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy. Oh, boy. David, where can people follow you and how can they connect with you?
Sure. So I think I'm at David Chris Global on all platforms. So Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. I'm on LinkedIn, David C. Williams. You can get the book at businessmodelbook.com. You can find me on my website, davidcwilliamsinc.com.
David.
Yeah.
How do you want to be remembered?
As a guy that swung for the fences, that was bold enough to go try something, to be unique. You know, I would say to the youth, never compromise who you are to go do what you want to go do. Sure, there's some grooming and some things you have to learn, right? We all want our doctors to be clean when they're operating, right? There's some things you have to learn. But don't compromise who you are just for what it is that you want to do. If you got pink hair, blue hair, you got a piercing, hey, don't let someone tell you that you're not whatever it is that you are. Go be that thing.
David C. Williams, it's been, look, I'm pumped up, right? I'm ready to go, I don't know, parachute or run or something, but it's been both an inspiration. It's been insightful. You've had a dynamic career, and
you've
blessed and served people literally around the world. Your accomplishments, it's folklore.
Thank you, brother.
Patents, best-selling author, international technologist. You got so much more to do, right? And right here in your hometown, right?
Yeah.
Right here in Big Dallas. So I thank you for being with us. It's been a pleasure. And For our audience out there, look, if you were inspired by today, if this gave you some new nuggets to live by and such forth, subscribe, tell a friend, but also follow my man here, David C. Williams, author, technologist, entrepreneur. This is what significance is. It's beyond success. It's about legacy. It's about making an impact. Until next time, everyone, take care of yourselves and take care of each other.